What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
I don't have the jingle anymore, so I'm just going to do the jingle. I don't think that was the right jingle.
I noticed in the last episode the jingle was missing.
I think that's because we only used, I'm guessing, maybe the Zoom audio on our end and not our recorded Zoom audio. So it sounded a little bit weird, I think.
Yeah,
it did. We're learning, you guys. So we're using a new system. First of all, hi, Scout.
Hi, babe. They're probably like, these fucking bitches are always learning. Like, I don't understand why they won't get it together.
Isn't that what life is all about? Isn't it all about learning new things?
Yeah.
Listen, I just spent 3 hours trying to figure out how to get on Squadcast, which is now the platform that we use to record, because Zoom is a little bit of a pain in the butt and a lot of steps. How we would record before, you guys, is we would have our own audio Zoom recorder, and then we would use Zoom, the app, Zoom, computer, laptop, whatever platform, for our video. But we would need that audio for our guests, because most of the time we're out of town. So Scout and I both at home have separate audio recorders that we would then upload to our editor, and then they would sync it, and then they would edit it, which they don't ever edit anything out. I think twice in our whole 103 episodes we've had something edited out, and it was only because we couldn't announce the person yet, remember?
Yeah. The fact that you and I figured out how to do all of that.
Well, I don't even know if that's the case. I still haven't figured it out. I mean, I was just impressed that I knew how to connect all of these things together. I mean, I did have to call you and say, what does your cord look like?
Yeah.
That you have plugged into your microphone? Because I only have Zoom recording equipment. I don't have stuff for this platform. So I'm trying to pull wires out of boxes, and it's been very informative, but I feel like I can get it. Because there's this other like editing platform that have joined forces. So Squadcast works with another, I forget what it's called. I should know because they actually are the owners of Squadcast now. And you can edit your own stuff on there.
Oh, cool.
So I can start like learning how to, I'm going to fucking do it. Learning how to like add in sound effects and like, you know, stock images and videos and like pull clips from the internet and make our actual visual episodes super cool. So I've been wanting to learn how to do that.
There's a new podcast that just launched that are friends of ours, and their videos look fucking fantastic. And whoever,
are they in the studio?
Whoever, no, but they include like kind of what we were doing in the beginning, where what
graphics
we're talking about, graphics, they pop that in.
Right.
And I mean, they just started, and I'm like, fuck, your shit looks really great. So I think.
Yeah, but they started with a team assembled. It's not
I know, but now we do. Now we've got a team.
Now we're getting there. We're getting there. But like, we started doing this shit before people were like we started in 2020, right? Yeah. I mean, 2021, like, you know, we definitely have just like basement floor level grinded it out. I mean, look at Steve Jobs. You saw that movie. I mean, look how they started. They started fucking putting shit together themselves, like in a, you know, in a garage. I mean, that's, I think that's like shows how much we're invested in trying to do this when our husbands and fiancés want to fucking strangle us for how many times we have to ask them.
I know.
But I really want to do it by myself.
Well, Tom's been working with me all morning because I've been doing, so now, now press junkets are not in person with all these interviewers coming in and you're with your fellow castmates and you have a whole day of press. Now it's like sit in a Zoom room that the PR team has set up. Yeah. And then there is, it's like an audition now. It's like there are, the interviewers are sitting in a, another private room that is connected.
A virtual room.
Virtual room. And then they will be allowed in every 15 minutes to come in and do, and I mean, we had about like, I don't know, like 40 total. Like that's crazy. But I guess like, yeah, you wouldn't probably get through that amount at a press junket in person.
This is for A Creature Was Stirring?
A Creature Was Stirring, yeah. The director
and
that
what,
we had
who
on
else
last
was
week.
Doing? Who else was doing the junket? Was everybody in the room and was taking questions or was it solely for you?
It was just Connor, Damon, and I. So, but normally I do them by myself. It's like a press junket day. Yeah. Like every movie that I'm coming out that like I usually, but this one was the first one that where we have multiple, which is really, really nice, especially since my voice was going.
I've only done what you're doing. I haven't done like in person, I think, since we did Halloween.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
It's been that long.
But isn't
that so I've done what you're doing, but it's never with other casts. It's always just me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the first time that I've done it with other people.
That's nice. At least you have some of the weight lifted a little bit if you're like, can't talk about the same shit. So let me ask you, I was thinking about you while you were doing it because I know you were like, oh my God, were the questions different? Or was every single interview the same? And do you think that what makes a great interviewer is someone, I was thinking about like, for me, the two greatest interviewers that I have listened to and grown up with is Barbara Walters and Howard Stern. And I feel like it's because they were empathetic and they were connected in their presence. You know what I mean? They like got to really sort of vibe them out and that allowed the person to sort of open up about stuff. But they also were super confident in their ability to not get too emotionally invested in what the celebrity was talking about. So it didn't feel icky to listen to, like it wasn't too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been through it, like what I went to, like going to therapy, you know, like you go to a therapist and a good therapist is the one that feels connected to you, is listening to what you have to say, but also hearing and speaking as well,
yeah,
and has a level of empathy without getting too, for me, when someone's too like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or you know what I mean? Like it shuts me down. I remember when I went to therapy after my friend John died and my therapist started to cry when I was telling her the story about my friend that had committed suicide.
Oh man.
And I never went back to see that person.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, there's a fine line.
Fucking weirded out.
Yeah.
And I no longer was allowed to be vulnerable because I didn't feel like it was a safe space. So do you think that that's why some reporters or journalists don't dive deep into those few minutes that they have with celebrities and just ask the same shit?
Well, I think we're just used to like the same formula, you know, of an interview. Like, I mean, well, even the interviews, the guys that were doing the interviews, they were even like, this is my fourth one today, you know? So it's just like, they're probably just in a rotation. You can tell when an interviewer hasn't done their homework.
Of course.
On
when they say
the
things
people.
Like, so tell me,
yeah.
How did you get involved in like the horror movie world?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, so I did this movie called Halloween.
Yes. But because I've had so many movies come out and I've been doing a lot of these press junkets, it's almost the same familiar faces that I've been seeing.
Right.
Which is really, really nice.
That's good.
And
that makes it comfortable.
Yeah. And I've noticed in these press junkets, like a lot of people know who I am and know where I come from and, you know, all that. So that's been really, really nice. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I don't know if, you know, I like sympathy and empathy when it comes to therapy, but I don't think I could handle if my therapist started like crying midst of me telling a story. Yeah, there's a fine line.
There's
definitely a fine line. So I've been working on Guy's Texas Chainsaw video game. We just did 4 more days of mocap to bring you guys more shit. And it's really, really fucking cool to be able to see the behind the scenes, and you guys have to wait.
Do you know I've never done a video game?
Yeah, I know. You've told me that. I don't think you would enjoy it.
Isn't that crazy? No, I probably wouldn't.
I don't think you would enjoy it.
No.
Well, I like it. I think it's really, really fun, but it's really hard, you know, being murdered over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think I would want to do another kind of video game. You, like, maybe not like where I'm shooting people.
A romantic video game? Hallmark needs to come up with their own fucking video games.
But can I just like be like Mario Brothers, where I'm just like waddle, 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 jump, and then like dive down into the sewer?
I don't think they did mocap for that.
There's this fucking great show that I'm watching now called Toys That Created America.
Jeez, Danielle.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It's like back in like 2016 or so.
Shut up.
Yeah,
you're
kidding. It's been on there for a while.
Yeah. So stupid. History Channel.
Yeah, have you done the films that made us? That just went go like deep dive.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I love that. Oh wait, I think my best friend Davina does that show. Oh shit. Because I've seen it at her house, and I was like, this is an amazing show. And she was like, dude, that's my show. So yeah, I'm a little bit slow to the game. I wonder if this is her show too. I just think I want to watch stuff that teaches me something, or watch mindless TV. It has to be one or the other. There's no like in between. It's hard for me to follow along when there's like a story or characters and like things like that. If it's a movie, cool. If it's a series, I just don't have time to finish it, or I never get around to finishing it.
Well, that's all we do in this household.
Dude, I'm trying. That's what I used to do before I had kids. When I'm home, I'm flipping between Fox News and CNN. Because I'm fascinated by
that. How is your worst nightmare? No.
Because when I was your age, I would have said no, but it's my worst nightmare too. But I just want to see. It's not because I want to hear what's going on necessarily, because it's fucking traumatic, but I have to listen to it because I don't want to feel ignorant. But I also love to hear the way, because it's one channel apart from one another on my Spectrum cable. So I love to hear the different explanations from party to party based on the same story.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like hearing the man's side and the woman's side. Mm-hmm. And it flip-flops. Mm. I mean, most of the time, the red is the man and the blue is the woman, unfortunately. But it's really interesting to see how people twist shit on both sides. Mm-hmm. I know this episode's airing
after. So you
after.
Like drama.
I just want to see.
Danielle was like a bitch in high school that's like, ooh, let me go to this bathroom. We can get the gossip here. Oh, fuck. Okay, let me go to the guy's
bathroom. Oh, dude, I love getting all the tea. Are you kidding? Spill the tea, baby. Okay. There's no judgment about it, but it's just like, it's just shocking to me that people are so convinced in their thinking process.
Yeah.
Like the people that are either left or right are so, so convinced that there's no other side. So tonight, this is going to air after I watch it, but there's a debate between Florida governor and our lovely California ex. Well, I'm no longer California governor. So it's like extreme red, extreme blue. So I just can't wait to see the explosion tonight. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, I won't go into politics, but I just want to watch it.
My God, that's one where we are so different. I stay as far away as possible from all that shit. I'm way too sensitive, and I'm like, look at me. I get flustered. If I know too much,
I don't understand half of what they're talking about.
Same.
Not three quarters of what they're talking about. But I feel like I want, like maybe I'll learn.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know. I just feel like if I watch it enough, I'll become smarter. I think it's from all those years of being fucking homeschooled and not getting proper education in history and government and politics and the stuff that like I was working the most right around like my sophomore, junior year of high school, when all of these things were really important. And I just didn't get the education because I wasn't interested back then. It didn't affect me, I thought, back then. I was way more into, that's probably why I like English, grammar, theater, like all of that stuff. I was way, way, way more into, you know, learning, reading Shakespeare, reading books, writing papers, doing, you know, whatever it may be versus learning about the government. But now I feel stupid.
Yeah, no, I trust me. We've already talked about this on the podcast. I've struggled with that insecurity my entire life since I graduated at like 14.
One of the things I've learned that really helped me, and I learned it about 10 years ago, and that was I started to ask questions or be honest when I don't know something.
Dude, I felt fucking weird even when I was at my gynecologist appointment and I was just getting everything checked in and I hadn't gone for a while. And now I know why, because these fucking people make you feel so stupid. Even when you like ask questions, like I, you know, not to get super personal, but I was just like describing like what was going on. And she was like asking me all these questions about like, well, did I go get a scan here? Did I go do this? And I was like, no, I don't even like, I didn't want to say, I don't know what that means. You know,
but she was like,
kind of like, approaching this,
making you feel.
At one point, I was like, because some other person was like a trainee, and the camera was pointed away, and so there was someone else listening in the conversation.
Oh, there was a student,
and I was like, "Ma'am," I was like, "You're treating me like I'm a child here, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable."
Wait, who, this is your gynecologist?
Yeah, this was someone that had like been, like I'd gone to her twice in like maybe like 4 years ago.
Can I send you to mine, please? Because he's Serena, no fucking way.
Nope.
What?
No fucking way. No way.
Wait.
No way am I having a guy do that to me. I can't. I come from molestation. I can't do it. I tried to do it in Louisville. And I was like, I don't think I could have a guy put an instrument inside of, like, that's not like a partner of mine. Like, I have.
You know, he's delivered Shepus's babies. No,
I know.
And Phyllis's babies and my kids. And he's got like the most calm, nicest, chill bedside manner.
I think that's amazing. I think that's so great. I think I just still have issues with being molested when I was a kid. So I just prefer a woman. But not that woman. She's fucking mean, man. She's so mean. I was like, can you get out of my vagina then?
See, you know what's so funny? I prefer male doctors. 100% prefer male doctors.
I prefer male, like therapists and shit. Like, so I get it.
See, no, my therapist is a female.
Okay. It's just.
I didn't need it. I was like, I can't with a therapist, like talking about. All like that deep of stuff. I'm like, the guy's not going to fucking understand.
I think it's just not going to understand. The thought of someone like opening up my vagina and scraping my vagina, I'd rather have a female than a male. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that get
to me,
right?
How many vaginas they've seen. They know they're definitely not looking.
But you also hear all these stories that happen. You know,
you to mine that's going to talk about like goofy random shit while he's like standing there. He's like the funniest, most casual, kind of awkward, like, I don't know. That's probably sounding even worse. Now you're like, I'm definitely not fucking going.
He's like, hey, you seen the Goofy movie lately?
That's probably what he would say. Oh my God.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. There's just some things that I've never. Well, also my mother. I didn't really do that stuff until I was like in my late 20s. It was never taught to me to go and do all of that. So none of that was ever taught to me. Yeah.
Wait, you never went to visit a woman doctor until you're in your 20s?
No, yeah. I was raised as a boy.
Oh.
I was raised as a boy. So I think that's also something to do with it as well.
Do you think?
Yeah, you know.
Do you think maybe these might be things that you should go back and revisit that may be still slightly in there somewhere that are need to come out a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, I have an appointment on the 5th with your therapist. So there you go.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for you.
We'll see how it goes, man. She'll probably be like, oh God, this girl's a the
no. First of all, she's mostly, I would say 97%, if not 100% of her clients are women, just so you know.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Well, you know,
it's all women and a totally different vibe.
Even my mother said it from the other side. You need to drop this girl thing and be better with women. So the fact
she's no bullshit though. Yeah. She's no bullshit though. You know, she calls it as she sees it, which you'll love. She's got a trash mouth like us. She's a Buddhist. She's a Jungian analyst. She's a psychoanalyst. So it's different kind of therapy. It's more fucking hardcore.
Wonderful.
Than regular talk therapy. It's like the deeper next level shit stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, she saved my life. So I miss her and love her, and you'll know why after you. She's like Stevie Nicks to me. I don't know why. I always think of Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac.
I know you talk very, very highly of her.
Yeah. She's literally my, like, I mean, I put it this way. I got this tattoo on my back. I went to go to get a tattoo, you know, whatever, 15 years ago, of, I wanted a picture of my, I wanted my grandma, like this old photo I found of my grandma on my back. And I took it to the artist and he was like, it's a little bit fuzzy. You know, I don't really know how it's going to transfer. I don't want to do the tattoo and then have it supposed to be your grandma, but not really look like your grandma, which will be worse than if you just picked something or someone that you didn't know the difference. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. Cause I was planning on a kind of the face there and I designed around it and stuff. So I don't know if you know, but the woman on my side is just a random photo that I found while sitting there waiting to get my tattoo on like Google, like old, whatever I Googled, this one image popped up and I was like, yeah, that's cool. And literally have this image of who, I have no idea who this person is on my body. But after I got it and it healed, I started looking at it and I was like, you know, kind of looks like my therapist. Kind of looks like kind of has her vibe. So I kind of started to love it once I loved her as much as I did. And then I felt like what proper placement that I had her watching my back. I know that sounds kind of corny and cheesy, but
no, that's great. Like someone that impacted your life, you know. I have a tattoo of you on my butthole, so
you do. Oh, is each one of your hemorrhoids my eyes?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I should have said my sits. That is so much better.
So much better. But you picked the butthole.
Because I was just thinking about my butt for some
reason. You know what? I think that is a wonderful time to do our first transition into our awesome advertisers that help us make this show. I think this is a great time as you think about those hemorrhoids in Scout's butthole to go ahead and have you wipe your tears from all the laughter and take a listen to some awesome sponsors. Okay, we're back. I've wiped away my tears. I will never get that image out of my head. And you know, my kids are, all they do is like run around naked and get into each other's faces and spread their butt cheeks and fart on each other. That's what's happening in my house right now.
Oh my God. I can't wait till I'm blessed with a girl. That's going to be crazy. I already feel it. I already know. Speaking of when we were talking about drama earlier and spilling the tea and gossip, there's a lot of gossip on the set yesterday.
Ooh.
Because we got a lot of horror people together. And when we get a lot of horror people, especially like Kane and Sean Whalen and myself.
Was it like who's working on what, or like the real no, scoop it was of more, like, did you hear it was, blah, blah,
it was,
blah?
It was not about our genre. So sorry. They're like, fuck, get the tea. But people were, Sean goes out of the blue, because I think Kane and I were talking about something disgusting. And then Sean goes, did you know that Nancy Reagan was known as the throat goat? And I was like, what?
What?
And apparently this is like a known thing. Like Nancy Reagan was known for giving like
the best blowjob, the best, like, deep throat
fucking blowjobs.
Who did she give a blowjob to that anybody would know other
apparently
than her husband?
Apparently she was seeing some on the side.
Nancy Reagan throat goat.
Yeah,
please hold.
Huge shit.
Okay.
It's a huge.
Oh my
huge
god.
Shit.
Nancy Reagan throat goat refers to a series of memes inspired by a Twitter thread that argued over the sluttiness of former First Lady Nancy Reagan in comparison to pop singer Madonna. The original tweet was posted in early December 2021 and inspired memes and reactions across platforms like Instagram, Facebook, going into the rest of 2021. So it was the Village Voice that highlighted the moment in 1992 biography Nancy Reagan, the unauthorized biography, where it said that Reagan, quote, was renowned in Hollywood for performing oral sex, and that she, quote, gave the best blowjob in town. The tweet reply received over 50,000 likes in 3 days' time. Additionally, however, there was a tweet from July 3rd, 2020 that referred to Nancy Reagan as the throat goat before the December 2021 origin. The tweet shown below was posted by Twitter, then the user, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. Well, I mean, she got like the president.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was with him before she got the president when he was.
For them to put her on the same pedestal as Marilyn Monroe and say, like, she took it all.
Like, fucking good for her.
Yeah, man. I thought that was so interesting and blew my mind. And of course, I was like, what do you mean? And then the gossip.
Is it weird to see? To imagine people that are older now giving blowjobs,
yeah.
And do you think their blowjob skills are as good as younger people's?
No, dude. I think it's like dancing. Do you know, like dancing? You're like
how you're like a beat off.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So imagine blowjobs. You know, like this little
with like shaky Parkinson, like shaky hands. Is that awful? Hey, listen, that could be totally used. Why can't you use it? Use it for good. Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah. Like blowjobs are the equivalent.
I don't know, but yeah, but it's also like, look at people want to have sex with younger, like guys want young girls, but young girls don't know how to fuck. Young girls don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like I watch whatever college porn or whatever, like 19, 20, 21 year olds just to go like, wow, they're so vacant. Wow. They really don't know what they're doing. Oh God, that poor girl. Like, I don't know. I'm critiquing it as I see it. I definitely think that the middle-aged women seem to kind of enjoy it more.
Yeah, of course. And then it just kind of goes downhill from there.
That's not true.
Well, it has to. It can't be the same. It's not the same, obviously.
No, but it can be. But doesn't it get better?
It's not downhill, sorry. It's just different. You're constantly learning sex. I feel like it's just going to be
different for sure.
As you get older, things are not going to. It's like my hip flexor. I pulled my hip flexor. I'm like, okay, well, I'm living with that now. It's gonna be the same thing. It's gonna be like, can't do that anymore. I gotta go do this now. This is my
definitely
thing.
Well, you just foam roll it out, bitch. Just foam roll it out.
Foam roll it out, man. And that's like everybody's like thing. It's like just foam roll it. You're gonna be fine. These things are like God's gift.
You know, it's funny. Last night was like normally like
foam roller night.
Well, David's always foam rolling, but. So normally, like, if we have sex, like, I know, like, the next night, he'll probably give me, like, a pass. Like, it's all good, you know? Like, I know, it sounds crazy, but I don't, I'm like, okay, cool, I can go to bed at 8 o'clock. Like, it's not going to, the topic is not going to come up the next night, because he knows, for me, I like to have 24 hours in between sometimes. At least, like, 24 hours is, like, you know, women need to, like, I know, it's ridiculous. But listen, that's why we're together for 12 years. Yeah. Like, our sex life has always been a priority and has always been good and gets better. So maybe we're doing something right. Mm-hmm. So it was the first time that I, like, was like, okay, good. So anyway, had sex. The next night I was like, okay, I'm going to bed at 8:30. He's not going to give me shit. Like, it's all good. No big deal. And then and then last night would have been the second night. So I was like, okay, I need to get out of Carter's bed and like go take a shower. And like, I'm taking a shower in 2 days and like go get in my bed with my husband and go to sleep with my husband, not my child. And so I went in and I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Fuck. It was like 9 o'clock. And then David came in from work and went to go take a shower. And I was like, oh shit, he's taking a shower. I know, like he's getting ready for bed. And I hear like, you know, shaving and like all the stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh gosh. So he got in bed and I thought he's totally going to make a move. And then he just rolled over and said, good night, babe. And he gave me a kiss. And rolled over and went to sleep.
And Danielle was like, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Kind of. I just have a hard time having sex at night. You know, I told you, Dr. Phil time, like it needs to be in the middle of the day. Unfortunately, today that won't be happening because it's 3:45 and right now is the time that I usually would be fucking my husband before I go pick up my kids from school. So that's not going to happen, which means that I can't go to sleep tonight. He's not going to kiss me and roll over and go to bed. He's going to be like, tap, tap, tap. And I'm going to be like, ah.
Two questions.
Yes.
How does David initiate? How do you initiate? And are there any turnoffs that you guys had to work through?
No turnoffs. Yeah, there's nothing about, like, literally there's not one turnoff when it comes to sexual or sexual advance, like none of that stuff.
There are some turnoffs in bed, even from like past partners that are probably like, if that ever happened to me again, I would vomit.
Oh, I don't have any of those.
I was listening to some podcast and apparently it's very common for the male to want to roar.
What?
Apparently that's like a, like something that's going on right now. I don't know if it's just with the youngins.
Oh, God. I'd fucking kick you in your dick.
Are like wanting to roar or something. I was like, what? I was like, if someone ever did that.
No.
Like that's so crazy.
I'll tell you that story after I answer your questions. So we usually discuss it. Like we're very open about our needs.
Okay.
Yeah. Or we'll just be like. Like, I'm sure he'll come in here at some point and say, do we have a date later?
Mm.
And I'll say like, and he'll go, all right, pass. Or, I mean, he never says, I never ask him because I already know he's going to want to. So it's always like up to me, which is usually most women, I think, too. Like if they want to or don't want to, we are the receivers of. Yeah, it's a date. Yeah. Do we have a date later? Yeah, we have a date. And then I'm like, cool. No matter what, like I'm ready. So he knows like what, like. Okay, so if I fall asleep with the kids, he'll come get me up and like I'll go in and we keep our date.
But what if you like canceled your date on accident?
I have done it on accident. Yeah. And it's like, and then I just make up for it the next day. I just make sure that I keep my promise and like we keep active and it works both ways, you know? Again, it's harder on the woman for me in my relationship, I feel, because it really is up to me.
Yeah.
I'm the one that makes the decisions because he wants to every day. So it does fall on me, which is also could feel like a lot of pressure too, you know, especially when I travel so much and I'm tired and, or I'm jet lagged or I've got a lot of stuff in my mind or, you know, a lot of like, he knows what the things are. Like if one of the boys has a fever or someone's sick in the house, he knows like, I'm not there. It's just not connecting. I've also been finding out lately that the longer I have like sex for, the harder it will be for me to actually achieve orgasm.
Yeah.
Like I lose sensitivity like a man.
Yeah.
So if it isn't happening right away, which just means it's like not right away, obviously, but if it's not happening in the time frame that it normally does, I know like it's just my head and it's just not going to happen. And then I could pull out things and whatever if like I'm like, okay, well, this has to happen or I'm going to fucking punch somebody.
Is he the type of person that waits for you first and then...
Oh, yeah, it needs to be me first. Yeah.
Like, if you were taking that long and he's like, so what's going on here? Like,
this was a really big issue that we had, to be quite honest, in the beginning of our marriage, the first year, because, you know, David was a lot younger and we were having sex all the time to get pregnant. And, you know, it was happening fast for him. And then it ended up being just like, okay, well then now it's a chore. So it's like, just do it. And like, I can't, you know, like you want me to come, but if you're stopping it, I may not then get there because I'm talking about the man, like he may not then get there if I'm making him take a long time to get me off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking to like, yes, that's a bonus, but really I was just trying when I was ovulating, trying to get pregnant. So it can get the lines can get a little bit blurry and can get confusing if there's not open communication because, you know, he was getting resentful, I was getting resentful, and then those two things make you not want to have sex at all with each other. You're like, you're trying to have kids, you've got this short little 48-hour window, and then you're, you know, one's pissed at the other, or then it gets complicated. So the best thing is to just really be open about talking about it.
Yeah.
And saying what you need and what you want. And it's like, I mean, I'll literally be like, I have to get off today or I want to fuck later. And he's like, got it. he doesn't say that stuff to me.
Yeah.
He's still respectful of me and, you know, talks to me the way I would want to be talked to. But I know I can say that to him and he'll be like, bing, you know, hello, boner. Like, I 100% know that it doesn't affect him, where it may, that may turn me off. Mm-hmm. But it, unless I'm in the mood, that's another thing that guys got to be careful of. Don't get carried away. Like, just because there's like the time before you're swinging from the fucking chandeliers doesn't mean the next time it could be that way. It may not be that way. Mm-hmm. It may just be 5 minutes. Yeah. Like, it doesn't always have to be a production.
Nothing's wrong with a nice.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
No.
50 minute session.
Accept the gift. That's what my marriage counselor had said. Accept the gift. Like, someone's like, I'm not there right now, but I want to take care of you. Accept the gift. That works both ways.
Yeah.
Accept it. Like, you know, maybe Tom doesn't want to have sex, but you're like, I've been stressed out. I need to get off. Then, you know, he can take care of you. And you're like, cool, got what I needed. You know, instead of going to bed resentful that neither one of you are doing it because one has needs and they're not communicating it to the other.
Yeah.
Speaking of, it's funny that you sent me that link yesterday that David sent me about the woman getting arrested on Instagram. You sent me the link about the woman getting arrested for masturbating on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's Florida. I love it.
But she was trying to deny it. It's like, ma'am, if that's what you're doing – I didn't know you can get arrested for that shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah. She should have fucking done that. The only reason why she got arrested was because she said something.
Well, you also, no, people saw her.
Yeah, but she could have been like, I wasn't doing that.
But they wanted to search her fucking bag.
They can't. They cannot search her bag.
Really?
She would have said, no, you cannot search my bag. No, you cannot search my car.
First of all, why the fuck would you want to do that? Like out in the, like she was in the water on the sand. Like, people are around. Like, I don't think that would be my first thought. It's like, ooh.
No. Let me get my vibrator. If it was just her, like, twiddling her pee, like, I get it.
Yeah.
But, or the bean, twiddling the bean.
She wasn't drunk either. Like, it was just like she was wasted.
No, she didn't seem drunk at all.
Yeah.
I wonder how long she's going to go to jail for.
How do you like that, though? Other people watching. I mean, it's like my birthday party at this desert spot cowboy bar up here on Sunset in Hollywood. I had everybody was going to the smoking area, or my hairdresser pulled me over the smoking area. She's like, come here. And I go and look, and the guy was like fucking, we talked about that yesterday too, jerking off. And I was like, some people just like being watched. Don't do it when kids are around.
No, of course not. But like if a man had been on the beach masturbating the same way she was masturbating, he would have been in jail, no questions asked, and he would have been on the registry as a sex offender.
Yeah. Well, good for her, though, for that she went to jail. And it can't be.
Could you imagine? I call you from jail. I'm like, Scout.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Dude, Scout.
David and I got caught.
I was in Costa Rica. And I got caught masturbating on the beach. Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
If I'm going to get caught doing anything, it's going to be fucking not masturbating.
Yeah, beach, I was going to say. Sure.
Speaking of Costa Rica, I just got off with our tour.
Are we announcing it right now? Is that what we're doing?
We're not announcing specifics, but I did give her a date that I think works. I'm hoping it does because we requested it and it is available. But we can announce that we have decided to do Costa Rica.
Woo!
Costa Rica.
And we have decided to do Costa Rica based on everyone's survey in July.
Yes, July. I love it. I love it. Great. May is going to be my wedding. June is going to be my honeymoon. And then July is just going to be the icing on the cake. It's going to be great.
Yes.
3 months in a row, baby. Let's go.
So what we're waiting for is their pricing, because they have to do the coordinating with the hotel and the food and the all that fun stuff that we're setting up. There's going to be like a booze cruise and a hot springs option that's going to be really fun, and like dinners and village walkthroughs. And there's just going to be all kinds of fun stuff we're putting together. So they have to just get back to us now that we've decided which one we think will work, and let us know how much it's going to cost, so we can tell you guys how much it's going to cost. And then we can all figure out if we're going to do this or not. And I think we're going to do it. I mean, I know we're going to do it. It's a matter of if we get enough people to do it. We've got to fill 20 spots.
That's easy peasy, bitch.
Do you think?
Yes.
But what if it's expensive?
I think we're going to – no, because we did everybody's budget, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
We already
we're going to keep it under everyone's budget. We got to keep it under.
Yeah, we already know like what people's like the high end. We're not going there.
Yeah. No. We're going to go way lower.
This is like, you know, this is like a vacation that people mostly take like every year or 2 years. And
just so we're going to Costa Rica together.
I know.
We've never taken a vacation. And with our, doing this as Talk Scary to Me, you guys. This is for Talk Scary to Me. Even though we are who we are, this is for Talk Scary to Me. And we wanted to, well, we were going to surprise you, but we shouldn't. We should announce that we're going to bring our partners with us.
Yeah.
So they're just as much of a part of the show as we are. And I feel like they have their, you know, friend base, and let's give the ladies some eye candy as well. Mm-hmm. We're going to be up in our bathing suits. Might as well, you know, of course, David's going to be like, I got to hit the gym starting now. Tom and David are going to be like doing push-ups on the beach.
Dance with our men. Use them as eye candy. It'll be really, really great. It'll be fun. I just can't wait. I can't wait to just like get to know.
I've never been there.
People that we like kind of know, but like, they, you know, they seem to know us a lot more because of our podcast. And so I feel like we're going to kind of get a little bit back and be able to like really get to know a lot of these people.
Like I've my Patreon, separate from our Talk Scary to Me, I have my top tier group, and it's been the same like 30 people for the last 3 years, 2.5 years. And they're all friends. And I've introduced you to them as well when they've come to shows and stuff like that. And, you know, I've developed friendships. Like I just went with Maria to Disney World, and then I've hung out with, God, let's see, a lot of
awesome.
Mostly the ladies like I've gone to dinner with and, you know, hung out, and Jax was in Boston and we've hung out, and I've gone out to dinner with Melanie and like, you know, just created that community. So I feel super safe with them. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to do it with other people.
Just remember, guys, it is when we do launch it, it is a first come, first serve. So, but we have other things we're trying to figure out. If it's not doing another one of these, we've got other things going. So this is not going to be the only time you guys get to go on a vacation.
No. We've got lots of good things in store. Speaking of folks that we hang out with when we're at shows.
Yeah, you got it.
And this is from Bo. I have a question. I haven't read this, Bo. So, and I could see you in your car right now, like clapping that. We're going to read your question. Okay. Hi, Danielle and Scout. My name is Bo and I need some advice. I recently had a date with a 36-year-old. Mind you, he doesn't even look his age. I honestly thought he was 27 at first. I'm 24, turning 25 in February. I'm used to dates being an hour long and not really going anywhere as in terms of talking. But no, we sat there for over 3 hours talking about life. I felt such a connection to him, and to him and I have had the same views on so many things. I'm such an old soul because people my age want to be out partying downtown. I'd rather be in bed watching Housewives and in my robe, which is another thing he agrees with me on. Haha. He already wants to see me again, and I'm so excited to see him again soon. But my worry is that people will just judge our age gap, and also about certain generational things we won't understand about one another. What do y'all think I should do? Listen, Bo, both of us can discuss this with you. So I'm 9 years older than David, and there hasn't been any issue because he's like a crotchety old man. So it totally works as far as our relationship. There are also the benefits for me have been things weren't as extreme. When we would get into an argument about something, I had already had those arguments in my past relationships. or stuff of similar topics. So I kind of had the tools to know how to work through them because I had already worked through them in past relationships, which was good for me, but bad for David because it was the first time that he was experiencing things like this. And it was hard for me to understand when I was like, it's not a big deal. Like, what are we arguing about? This is so stupid. Let it go. This is what it was. And this is what it will end up being. So I had to learn to kind of just listen, which I still have a hard time doing. And, you know, the only thing I've really seen in age is like pop culture. Mm-hmm. It's pop culture stuff. And if you're an old soul, you're going to know all the pop culture stuff. Like, David didn't know who Corey Feldman was. You know, he doesn't know the TV shows I grew up with. He doesn't have the same, you know, he was born in 86. I was born in 77. So I grew up in the 80s. He grew up in the 90s. So while I know all of his references, he doesn't know all of my references. How's it affected you? Do you have that same thing with Tom?
Well, I think a connection is a connection. It doesn't matter what your age is, what you feel for that person shouldn't matter, or you shouldn't hold yourself back because of an age limit. No, it's never, with our relationship, it's never became an issue. In some elements of our relationship, Tom is a lot more wiser. In some elements of our relationship, I'm more wiser. So I think it just depends on the person. Age has never come up, except when we're making fun of each other. Just like picking on one another. There's never been like
the men that I've dated that were all older than me, because I only dated older than me before I was with David. That's why I was like, let me try something different because this shit ain't fucking working out. Mm-hmm. We're a bunch of idiots with Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be like a lot of men have Peter Pan syndrome.
Yeah, especially men that are like, you know, mid-40s that have never been married. Mm-hmm. It's complicated.
I say go for it, man. Go for it.
Yeah, go for it.
One life.
Who cares what anybody thinks?
And then if it doesn't work for you, you tried it. Like it doesn't matter what people think. I don't think anyone's like looking at you going, like,
here's a great thing somebody said to me once, and I'll never forget it. And I think you need to remember this moving forward. And this goes for everybody. Your opinion of me is none of my business. There.
Nice. That's a good one.
You know, it puts things into perspective. Yeah. I don't give a shit what you think of me. It doesn't matter. I only care about my husband and my children.
Yeah. It's a lot happier life when you stop caring what other people think. I know it can be hard at times,
so much better,
but like,
right?
Whatever. This is from Nathaniel. Hi, babes. My name is Nathaniel. I just wanted to say I love your podcast so much. I could listen to you two talk for hours and never get bored. You are truly amazing role models and deserve the whole world. Anyways, I have a friend with benefits situation going on with a guy. Let's just call him Jay. Jay and I have been friends with benefits for quite a while now, but we aren't dating. It's just that both of our lifestyles and ages are so different that I don't see him as being the one. However, we discussed rules that we are allowed to sleep with others and whoever we want. Yet I get a little jealous. I always overthink and end up getting hurt that he is for a fact hooking up with others, but I can't do anything about it. I'm so confused with myself because he's not my man, yet I'm jealous because I also don't want to officially date him. Should I just cut him off for good to prevent myself from getting hurt? Or am I just too indecisive with what I want? Keep in mind, I'm 22 and he's 31. So that's another reason why we wouldn't work as a couple. I think I'm too young, immature, and still haven't explored myself. Meanwhile, he's got his shit together. I always tell myself, should I stop seeing Jay for good and focus on my life? Yet I'm always going back to him. I need self-control. P.S. This dude took my virginity, so maybe that's why I feel emotionally attached to him. And I low-key have daddy issues. Oops. Always sorry for the very lengthy rant. I'd love to hear what you guys' opinion on this. Love you both. Well, first of all, you're very self-aware. That's amazing. I was not self-aware at 22 going, I'm immature. Mm-hmm. I know I've got things. This person's really mature. So you're already kind of off to a great start within yourself and your growth. So I applaud you for that, Nathaniel. That's funny.
I think that this is just my personal opinion, mm-hmm. that it's very difficult at some point when you are having sex with someone to not feel something. You can be as cool as you want, but you're like sharing. There's physical things going on, like actual physiological things going on in your body and their body when you are having sex. So you're going to feel something. So it's completely normal to feel jealous.
Yeah. I think also, like, you know, we've talked about the cool girl syndrome, the cool guy syndrome, you know, is also
same thing, a thing, yeah.
You know, and I don't know if you're doing yourself a disadvantage by playing that role and acting like it doesn't bother you. I know that you're saying that he's not your guy, and that's pretty amazing that you can, like, but maybe he is, and you're just...
Do you want him to be, or do you not want him to be?
Yeah, but maybe he is. Maybe if you got rid of the fact that I'm immature and you're saying all these things about yourself, maybe this relationship might be good for you. I don't know. Who knows?
I think relationships that are in our 20s are here to teach us something. So this may be a great lesson for you to realize that sex is a big deal and you need to take it not so lightly, because feelings will get hurt and you are sharing your body and that time with somebody. I sound like a very old lady by talking about this.
No, but it's good. Maybe, I mean, I feel like a lot of younger kids now feel like they can have multiple partners, you know, that a relationship is not a thing. But some people can, some people can't. It just doesn't work for them.
I think most young people think that they can, and because they're being cool, and then they realize, whoa, this shit just isn't. And you may think in your 20s that you're that person, but get a little bit older and see if you're still that person. And if that lifestyle works for you, awesome, more power to you. Like, it wouldn't work for Scout or I, but I know a lot of women and men that do have relationships like that. That's fucking great. I wish I could. I don't like to share.
I think you should just have a conversation, and maybe you guys can iron it out together, and then maybe you guys will come to the decision, like, that we can't continue this because I'm not ready, nor do I think I'm prepared or have the tools to, like, sort of do an open relationship. Or maybe
I'm also curious as to, like, how you know. Does he tell you that he's been with someone intimately? Do you guys talk about that stuff because you're having sex as well? Is that an open conversation of, you know, when you last were with someone? I dated someone.
Well, I think he's just worried. I think he's, because he opened the book of, like, open relationship, because he knows that that's not for him. So it's probably, that's like, see, that would be me. If I was, like, cool girl and be like, yeah, open relationship, I would constantly be thinking about it. There is no way that I would not be thinking that is he having sex with someone? Did he have sex with someone today? Did he have sex with someone yesterday? Like, am I special? Like, I would just be in my head too much. And that sounds like,
I mean, I was in relationships where I was dating multiple men, and because one that I was originally dating first and didn't want to date multiples was like, we should see other people. I don't want it to be too serious, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, cool. So I started seeing other people. And then when that person then asked me, you know, weeks later, if I had been with anybody else, I said, yes, I was dating somebody else. I had been starting to date somebody else, and they freaked out.
Yeah.
And then the person that had been dating with knew about this first person and acted like, I get it. I know that there's this other person involved. So I wanted to be honest about where I was in my relationship with who I was dating previously. And then when they asked me, when was the last time you saw so-and-so? And I said, I went to dinner with them, you know, whatever, Tuesday or whatever, a few days before I had a date with this person. That person freaked out.
Oh God, that would seem like so much work.
It's a lot. And then so what happened?
So what did you do? Did you end up just, like, not seeing both of them? Going, I'm out.
No, I ended up seeing both of them and told them to fucking figure it out.
That's not my problem. I can't do this.
That's not my problem.
Like, I know I created this.
I didn't have an issue with two of them. They're the ones that had an issue with me dating somebody else. That's their own shit they've got to sort through. You know, if they wanted to be monogamous and make it just about me and commit to me, if that was where they were in their head, if they couldn't do it with me being with somebody else, then they should have had that conversation with me. And they didn't. They acted like immature children and just pitched a fit about it. So that's on them. Nothing that I could really do. It's a nice place to be in for once, like, to be on the other side of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's also a little bit of that, like, oh, you want to see other people? Cool, watch me. I'll make a call. Hi,
so
you want to come over and go to dinner? Well, it's women, you know, women.
Yeah.
We can... Oh, I was watching something about... they were talking about Magic Mike. Oh, it was Howard Stern. Howard was talking about Magic Mike and about the Real Housewives. No, but I fucking love him. I love him more than he'll ever know. So he loves watching The Housewives with his wife, and he loves talking shit about them. And there was an episode where the girls went to Magic Mike. I talked about it a while ago, Beverly Hills Housewives. And Howard was talking about strip club. Like, he just imagined Magic Mike being like a strip club for women, not really like it is, which is an actual like show where guys aren't taking anything off. Yeah, like a musical dance number, you know, with like guys in jeans. Like, that's really what it is. I don't think anybody even really got in their underwear, did they? Maybe one guy for like a second, then he was off stage. I don't even remember.
The guy coming off and giving everybody lap dances, he was in his underwear.
No, he was in jeans rolled down, wasn't he?
He was in his underwear.
Oh, see? I you know what, Scott? Maybe I was making eye contact.
Yeah.
I was making eye contact. I wasn't looking. At a strip club where there are men dancing for women or men dancing for men, they're wearing like little fucking socks. Yeah. You know, they're not wearing jeans, and they're not wearing like boxer briefs. They're wearing shit that shows off their semi-hard penis. So it's in your face. And like, that's gross to me. I don't want any of that. So Howard was saying like, he doesn't understand women going to a strip club. He understands men going to a strip club because men are paying for women they could never get. But women are going to strip clubs, and the men, like, if those women wanted to have sex, they could have sex. But yes, these are hot guys.
I think it's like men putting on a show for one.
Well, yeah, duh. They're like, I bet half the guys are gay.
Well, it's not us in lingerie, like trying to
grinding on their dick,
trying to seduce our partners. It's like, oh, for once, look at, you're going to be sexy for me and put on a show for me and dance for me.
I think guys dancing at strip clubs are like, they have more fun with it. Where women seem like, oh God, there's that.
Because we do it all the time.
Is that because men are just visual? I mean, is that maybe like what the thing is?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. It's also like a dance, like a routine, you know? They're also like getting like a workout in, I feel like.
Like, if the guys that come over to you at Magic Mike and they like swoop you up and like carry you and they talk to you, and maybe one of them has like a Southern accent or an Australian accent or is kind and like kind of sweet, like that's what really gets the women going. And then they have good bodies and they dance around on you, and you know, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. I think that there's something that gets triggered in the mind too. That's a turn on versus, you know, it's not like the women are talking to the guys. The women are not, the strip club chicks are not talking to the guys the way guys are talking to us.
Something with the fact that they can't have sex with you, I think.
What do you mean? The guy can't have sex, like, with the stripper?
There's a thing. No, with the person. Like, there's no, like with the women, it's like at strip joints that they can. There's like fucking rooms where like you want it. Like men, it's not that way. Like, women don't, we don't want to have sex with you, but like the fact that you can't, it's like, it's a nice, like, it's like a tease thing rather than like, you know, the majority of the time the fucking girls are screwing the guys.
Do you think it happens where women have sex in those little rooms with male strippers? They don't have those rooms even.
So. No, I don't think so. Unless it's like maybe one like coming to a bachelor party, like at the house, and like they get fucked up and drunk. I'm like, who does it? I guess.
You ever watch that show Gigolos on Showtime?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. It's that should be your next one you watch with Tom. It's a reality show about male escorts in Vegas.
Oh, cool.
And women hire them, and they show everything that the woman wants, and shows them. It's this softcore porn, basically. Yeah, you see all of it.
Apparently, there's like I don't know what the name of it is. It's a guru man that just, it's like, it's a massage, but it's a massage to have an orgasm.
Yes, dude, that's the guy I wanted to have on the fucking show. I wanted him to do it to us on the show,
bitch. You think David, are you out of your fucking mind? Bye-bye, Mary.
You can do it on,
but
it's like hypnotized, and it's like he's just touching a piece of you.
Someone else is making you have an orgasm.
He's not touching you. He's not touching you.
But that person is making you think, are you out of your mind?
He can do it on Zoom.
Are you out of your mind? Okay, go pitch that to your husband. And you report back to me. Yeah, I'd love to have that conversation. Like,
you know what's funny? I didn't even think about it in that way.
I know, but they are.
This yeah, but why can't you teach my husband how to do it?
Danielle, don't call him that. Jesus.
What? Why can't he teach my husband how to do that? Like, what if it was just like through the phone? I don't know. Like, how is he doing it? He's hypnotizing them. He's not even touching them.
I don't know.
Okay, when this episode airs, I'm going to post a link to the guy that I'm talking about so everybody can see what I'm talking about. I think he actually does touch them, but only like their hand or something. He's not like doing anything.
Yeah, I think they do touch you. There's this guy on TikTok that does it. Well, they do it at Burning Man too, but you have to like connect. Tom and I took the class with a bunch of fucking people. Tom was making some weird ass noises. I wasn't.
So somebody was touching him?
No,
or
there was like,
connecting
it was
with him?
Like trying to like get an orgasm.
Like yeah. Like Reiki sort of
yeah,
energy was?
Like apparently you can, yeah, shift your energy.
Was there a guy or a girl running the
It was a girl.
The class. So you were okay with a girl doing that to Tom? What if Tom
no,
got
at one point they asked for people to couple up and, you know, single scout would have. This one girl goes, hi. I was like, I can't.
Oh my gosh.
If not, I will go by myself. Walk away from me before he leaves his class right now.
So would you have been okay if you went with that girl and the would Tom have been okay for you to go with her if he would have gone with the other woman? The woman teaching
so.
The class?
I think Tom and I have to work on other issues first before I'd be okay with that.
Right.
I think I'll get to
Got
a
it.
Point where I think we'd love and trust each other enough, and it wasn't like having fucking sex with one another. It was just like trying to teach to open up something within ourselves.
I'm so curious as to how I would feel about David having that done to himself.
When we do it, when I come over for your Christmas party, we'll just
what?
Have this guy on and we'll have our partners and we'll have a giant orgy in your little studio there.
I was like, wait,
all
where is she going with
on
this?
The floor, just breathing. Heading, trying to figure out.
We'll do a live.
If someone can get that orgasm.
What's funny is the kids are going to be staying at my mom's house tonight at my Christmas party, so it's just going to be the four of us.
Holy shit.
And you know, we're doing, before we get off, pun intended, I don't know what is going on with our sex talk today. So for my Christmas party, it says black rhino instead of white elephant because it's like a gift exchange.
Like sex.
So we do what it could. It's naughty or nice.
Naughty.
So whatever you want to bring, you could bring a naughty gift for under the tree or a nice gift for under the tree.
Oh my God. They have no idea what they're going to be. Alex keeps like, ah, what am I doing here? This is an orgy.
Everybody will be drinking and having a good time or smoking or not and just loving life.
Get on the flight at 8 a.m. the next morning to go to another.
You'll be fine.
Me?
You'll be fine.
I'm
going to
be fine.
You'll
You're
be
hilarious.
Fine.
I'm going to be so hungover.
You're used to it. Yeah. You're used to it. Well, guys, don't forget if you want to watch our video to join us on our Patreon and take a listen to us on the Bloody FM network. Thank you, Bloody Disgusting, for your support and partnering up with us and for all of our sponsors. And see you next Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, motherfuckers. Bye.
Happy Tuesday. Bye.